back. You're with the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Bri throwing down a little Alter Bridge there, new rock band. It's I guess he's part of that band now. So, but pretty cool, man. You are listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. It's Memorial Day weekend, and we've got a lot to be thankful for. And one of those things is the crushed grape. What you thinking, Bob?
I'm thinking I'm really happy now that we invited Brian up here. So, it's thanks good. For joining us. Welcome back. And it is Memorial Weekend show. We are kind of featuring Fenn Valley, one of our long-term, one of our oldest sponsors here for the show. So we have grown very familiar with a lot of the varietals and a lot of the wines you produce. Matter of fact, your father-in-law, Doug, helped me when I planted my vineyard. He kept telling me, what do you want to grow grapes for? Just keep drinking mine.
Yeah.
It's like, because you've got me so enthralled in wine, I'm just fascinated by it. I love beer too, and I've brewed beer a little bit, but this is a real art that, I don't know, there's something very cool about making wine. And I'm in my third year with my vineyard, and I put sprinklers in this year, drip lines. So Jop was over a couple weeks ago, and remember that first row, all the little grapes that were coming out? I mean, it's really starting to fill out this year, so it's kind of exciting to venture into the wine field. So tell us about what we're drinking right now.
Sure. So we brought a couple samples up here today.
I wouldn't have
been let in the door without them, probably.
Right.
So
you would have been let in, but you'd have been treated.
I'd have been
poorly.
Gone by now. Right.
Yeah, you wouldn't have made it to the second
Your
segment.
3 minutes
yeah.
are done, man. Yeah.
So, they just kind of give me creative license over what wines to bring up, and so far that's worked okay.
I think he said we're mooches.
Right.
Yeah. I'm okay with that. We're in radio.
I've been called worse.
I'm sure we all have, right?
Right.
Yeah. So the first one is a wine we call our Cabaret Rosé. We call it Cabaret Rosé because the federal government won't allow us to call it Cabernet Rosé because it's actually a blend of two different Cabernet grapes, Cabernet Sauvignon and Cabernet Franc. And so,
yeah, because the government needs another rule.
Right.
Right.
Right. But that would be
about a name of a wine. Really?
If you use a wine term on the label, you have to use the whole term. And if it's a blend, you have to list all the grapes and their relative composition. So
see.
We switched to Cabaret Rosé, and everyone just thinks we don't know how to spell.
Right.
So
it works. You know, the rosé is interesting because there is no rosé grape. So, and when I was a young buck and you wanted to get a little jig going, you went and bought this big bottle of rosé from Lambrusco or Gallo.
That was actually, Lambrusco was the pricey stuff.
Yeah, right. But it seemed like it was always the $2 chuck wine that was the cheapest stuff
not
you could
nearly
get.
Not nearly as good as Boone's Farm.
Right, yeah. but this is, I'm older, maybe my palate's a little more developed, but this is not that at all.
Right, hopefully not, right.
Right, no, not at all. So tell us about this. It's a pink wine, which is usually the ones that are the Boone's Farm, like you said, Bob, Strawberry Hill or whatever that used to be, but this is very tasty.
Yeah, so the category is really evolved in the U.S. The way we make our rosé is actually a very classic technique called a saignée, and it means to bleed. It's a French technique used in a lot of cooler climates in France, because what we do is we actually bleed off about 10% of the liquid from a red wine fermentation a couple days in. And so the pink color is created because the juice hasn't spent enough time with those dark red skins to achieve full redness that you'd expect with a red wine. But the real reason we make it is not to make the rosé. The real reason we make it is to make the red wine better, because in a cool climate, we have less concentration of flavors in the skins. And so by eliminating some of the juice early in the ferment, we increase the skin-to-juice ratio such that you get less juice, more skins, which makes a bolder, more intensely flavored red wine. The byproduct is this really nice, fresh, crisp, clean pink wine that is bone dry and has some complexity, because you have to think the grapes that the flavor and color is coming from are some of the most complex grapes we grow in Southwest Michigan in those Cabernets. So this is one of my favorite wines to grill with. To me, it just speaks grill. It's cool. It's light and refreshing, but yet it's complex. So there's just a lot going on.
Would you typically serve this chilled?
Yeah, typically I would
like
serve
it like this.
Yeah, just chilled to maybe slightly above chilled, but I was grilling with it on Tuesday, and it's just it reminds me of summer. Once the rosé comes out, and it's like we're summer's arrived.
So this is a seasonal varietal,
Rosés don't age all that well, you know, that, and it's, that's not a bad thing for us because it, you, you know, you drink it sooner, which makes you have to come back and buy more. But rosés, and there's a lot of reasons for that. Some do age decently well, but they're meant to be consumed young. They're just a fun, kind of easy to drink product. But like you were saying, Jop, they're not an inferior product by any stretch. In fact, these are some of the most valuable wine grapes you can grow in North America.
So it's kind of a little bit more delicate then.
I think there's a lot of nuance to it.
And you know, you guys turned me on to your Vino Verde several years ago. That was the same way. You wanted to drink it this year, right now, because it's just not going to age that well. And that was that. This has a little bit of that tart characteristic of that. You know, it's not sour, but it's got a little pop to it.
You know? Wine has a lot of acidity in general. You know, mm-hmm. That's why wine and food pairings are tricky to some extent, because you're talking about a wine that's got quite a bit of acid in it, which is good. It kind of makes you salivate, makes you want to eat.
Yeah,
so it makes
I'm salivating
it good with,
right now looking at that Edelswicker.
Yeah.
So are you doing Vino Verde again this year?
We do. We call it Vino Blanco, another government regulation challenge for us. It's a Portuguese style wine made with grapes that are intentionally picked early. Oh. So you have a little lighter flavor and a little higher acidity. Then you put a little bit of CO2 in there and you get this really nice, crisp, clean, you know, quintessential summer wine for
sure. You chill the heck out of it and drink it on a hot day. It is fantastic. Ice cold. It's so good.
Well, I got a surprise for you, actually. We are later this year going to release that product in a can.
Perfect.
Really?
It'll be just
perfect
ideal
for the
it. This is the first time I've told anybody,
wow,
actually.
Nice.
I wasn't even planning to
well,
do that.
Well, it's just
that.
Bob and I. You're not telling
well,
anybody.
That's
yeah,
we
right.
won't
that's
tell
a good
anybody.
Point. You put a couple of glasses of rosé in me, and I really open up.
Mum's the word here.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Perfect.
Yeah, but so, Brian, it sounds like then at the winery, you're actually developing varietals. I mean, if you say, okay, we picked that grape early, we put a little CO2 with it, and so some are these recipes or are they do you have a like a R&D department or how's that work?
Well, we're kind of the R&D department. You know, a lot of times one of us will be traveling, and Doug does travel a lot now, as you said, so he gets exposed to a lot of different types of wines. So a lot of times he'll come back and say, hey, you know, I had this.
I
and
bet.
Then,
that's
and then he'll
really
say,
priceless.
Hey, why don't you guys figure out how to make it?
Yeah.
You know, and so we'll kind of reverse engineer
and then
it a
he
little
leaves
bit.
Again.
Yeah. And then he'll come back and it's done. No, I mean, it,
good
we,
gig if you can get it. Huh?
Yeah. I mean, we've developed some things originally for sure, too. We like to take these existing styles and maybe apply some of our own touch to them. But a lot of these regions have been doing this for a long time. So
I sat in on some R&D sessions out on your patio a few late nights with you and Doug and your grandma, and she's gone now. But that was another cool lady. The history to Fenn Valley is worth exploring. If you've never been there, if you're anywhere in the Michigan area, you need to get there at least once because you'll fall in love with the place.
Well,
guarantee
and there's these really cool tours, and there's a part of the place that's underground, and there's cellars there, right? And it's just amazing that exists. It's not just a West Coast thing or a Europe thing. It's right here in Michigan, and I'm sure there's a lot of them, but this one in particular is one of the largest that we have in the state.
It's huge.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like an underground bunker.
Right.
But we went in it for an event we were at a couple years ago, and you've got another one coming up June 24th and 25th. What's that?
It's kind of our annual birthday party. We call it Wine Festival, and it's a celebration of local Michigan-made wine, and so we open up the whole facility, the cellar, the vineyards, and we take people throughout all those things. We have a live music. We'll have a barbecue actually provider there to provide some food, and we do some wine demonstrations as well. So it's kind of a choose-your-own-adventure. If you want to go learn something in the cellar for 20 minutes, you're welcome to do that. If you don't, you just want to sit around
so
and listen
impressive.
To music.
It's so yeah. huge.
And we do it right in the vineyard. So you're surrounded by vineyards. You can walk out in the vineyards. You can actually take a hay wagon out if you don't even feel like walking. And we'll set up little wine stations right in the middle of the vineyards themselves with yard games. And I mean, you can literally play Bago in the middle of a Chardonnay vineyard.
Here was my experience. The people that go there go every year.
Right.
We're going to ask you to stick around. We got Colonel Gillum coming up on the next segment.
Yep. Colonel Denny Gillum is going to help us do a little remembrance of the Memorial Day weekend. Stick with us. We'll be back. The deep will drown you for your sins.